You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. Before we dive into today's episode, which is another Q&A, I wanted to give you a couple of housekeeping updates. So number one, if you are in Australia and you're attending the conference next month, please sign up for the meetup, playtherapypodcast.com/meetup, and then we'll be able to keep track of how many are coming and we'll be able to accommodate you in the right size room with the right amount of stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So playtherapypodcast.com/meetup. Secondly, if you have not already, please join the collective, ccptcollective.com. You get a free 2-week trial to make sure that it benefits you and it provides you with what you need. That community continues to grow and thrive, and it has just been incredible. And it gives me an opportunity to interact with you live twice a week. So if you would like to have me answer questions directly on a call rather than waiting for me to answer them on an episode, ccptcollective.com would be the place to start there. Okay, so Ethan's question is about writing notes during session. And I know some of you are hardcore, staunch opposers to that, but I think it's only because you don't feel equipped to do so. And then I know some of you have started taking notes in session, and some of you have been taking notes for a while. So full spectrum there of all experiences writing notes. But I'll read parts of Ethan's question and then we'll talk about that together. What kinds of things do you write down on your notes during session? I remember listening to a podcast where you talked about how you would separate things that you note into categories. I was hoping to know what those categories were. I keep trying to look for the podcast or Zoom call on the collective where you've talked about it, but I can't seem to find it. All right, so Ethan in Virginia, thanks for another question and thanks for being a part of the collective. I'm happy to answer this question because I get asked about session notes all the time. And I think that one of the things that is difficult for us is that until it becomes common practice, it's a struggle for us. So it makes it easier to have a system and write down the same things in the same way every single time. So I will share how I handle notes, and then hopefully that will help kind of provide you with a template of sorts so that you can try to replicate that and it becomes muscle memory at that point. So I always write the child's name and the date at the top of the page, and then I start my entries on the left side. So everything that I write is left justified down the left side of the page, and every new entry gets a dash. So I'm able to look down the left side of the page, and at every dash, I know that that's something new that I've written down. That's just the way that I chronologically cover in order from start to finish everything that happens in a session. And then the way that I kind of catalog them, if you will, or the legend that I use, I write anything that the child says that is therapeutically valuable or significant, I write that down as a quote. So I will actually have quotation marks on certain entries where a child said something that was extremely meaningful or significant or therapeutically relevant. And obviously you don't want to quote the child all session long, or you would just be writing and writing and writing. So you really reserve those quotes for when something very significant came out of their mouth and you know it, right? We have those moments where we're like, wow, that was important. So when a child says something like that, I write it down in quotes. Second thing that I do is I underline anything that is noteworthy or any kind of observation that I make. So in other words, if it's something that I need to draw my eye to, when I glance at the sheet after the session, my eye is trained to look for certain things, and an underline is one of those things. So if a child comes in with a cast, for example, I write child broke arm and I underline it because that's something that I want to be able to easily see. And I want to be able to remember that that was noteworthy in the session. It can be really any kind of observation that you make. So the child seems tired. The child won't engage. The child is more frantic than normal. The child broke their arm. Whatever the scenario is, you write it and underline it so it draws your attention. Then anything that is significant and important that happens. So something that I really want to highlight as that was a big deal, I do a star and a circle. So if a child moved to collaborative play for the first time, I would write collaborative play star with a circle, because that indicates something big and anything significant, star and circle, so that I recognize, ooh, okay, this was an important moment in the session. I also document any theme that I observe. So if I write down power and control, for example, I circle it. And the circle is always a theme. That's how my brain knows that when I'm scanning session notes in a PC, sorry, parent consultation. Some of my audience knows my random abbreviations, but I know some of you don't. Sorry. I'm just so used to saying them, they come out and then I have to backtrack. So the parent consultations, we always are looking down session notes and trying to gather a summary for them. And that's the way my brain knows to look for the themes, is the circles. And then finally, we document repetitive play. So anything that's repetitive, the toys are repetitive, the theme is repetitive, the play is repetitive. Whatever is consistent across that session or across multiple sessions, I actually write repetitive and I box the word repetitive. Because again, as I'm looking down session notes, it allows me to recognize what play is carrying over. Now, here's my final explanation. Now that I've shared what I do on my notes, I want to be really clear that, well, and I don't have time to go into why you should take notes in session, but you should. But here's why we do this. It's not for us. I want to make that really clear, because a lot of clinicians think, oh, I need to be taking notes so that I have a sense of what's going on in sessions. That's not why we take notes. We take notes because that allows us to speak intelligently and articulately and concisely in our parent consultations. I have 5 weeks of notes. That's 5 hours of playtime. And if I don't use the same system and the same template and write notes the exact same way every time, when I sit down and I flip through 5 hours worth of notes with parents, it's going to be much more difficult for me to communicate what's going on and why that's significant and share with them what they need to know about the progress that's being made. But the way that I do my notes, I look for circles, I look for boxes, I look for stars and circles, I look for underlines, and I look for quotes. And guess what? In 2 or 3 seconds, I can scan the front side of one of my notes, and I know exactly what was significant that happened in that session. So as I'm flipping through 5 pages worth, because every 5 weeks we have the parent consult, right? So as I'm flipping through 5 pages, I can say, yes, this play has been consistent across all 5 of these sessions. So we're still right in the middle of working through that theme, because I circled power and control for 5 weeks straight on 5 different session notes. I can share anything specific that I noticed or observed and make sense of that. Yeah, this was the day that she'd been at camp all week and she was just so worn out, and her play was a little bit different this day because I think she was just exhausted. But that would have been something that I underlined. The first time that she chose to involve me in her play and we shifted from independent play to collaborative play, there was a star with a circle there. I would highlight that with a parent and talk about how important that is and why that's so meaningful. Now all of a sudden the child is outwardly indicating that there's trust and there's bond and there's rapport and that we're in this together. That's exactly what we want to move into work phase. I would share that with a parent. So do you see how the purpose of notes is not for us? It is so that we can effectively have parent consultations. And no, you will never be able to document as effectively after a session is over. It is impossible for you to remember 50 minutes worth of stuff after the fact, especially not in the accurate order, not every nuance, everything that happened when you're writing it down as it happens, it's in the moment and nothing is missed, nothing's forgotten, nothing is put in a different order. So you really should be taking in-session notes and you need to follow a system. You don't have to do my system necessarily, but it should be that you do the same exact thing, the same exact way every single time. And then here's what will happen. It will become muscle memory. And I've shared this on coaching calls and I've shared this in the collective. I've only ever taken notes. I was trained to take notes, so I have never not taken notes. I'm going to make that really clear. So I'm in a couple months, I'm on year 20 of in-session note-taking. So this is old hat for me. And you might say, oh my gosh, it's going to take me 20 years to get to that point. But here's what I need you to know. I can be looking directly at a child, reflecting a feeling that's taking place in that moment, while still writing down what just happened on the notes all at the same time. So it is not distracting. It does not take away from my engagement with the child, but it's muscle memory. At this point, I am conditioned to be able to fully attend to the child while still writing things down in session. But that takes tons of practice. And here's the thing. A lot of therapists say, well, I want to like practice getting better at notes before I start taking notes. Well, that's a lovely idea in theory, but you can't practice taking in-session notes unless you practice in-session notes. So you just have to start doing it and you work and work and work. I mean, Chinese proverb, when you reach the 10,000 hour mark, you've mastered something. So that's not to scare you and overwhelm you. That's to say you need to start getting hours under your belt. Because while you might not need 10,000 hours to be proficient in note-taking, that's more skill type of thing, right? Like to be a concert pianist, you have to have 10,000 hours of training. So you probably don't need 10,000 hours of note-taking, but you're going to need a lot of them. So just bring notepad into your session and start practicing. And you may only write 15 things the first time, but you've at least gotten in the habit of starting to write things down while you're in a session, and it will only get easier from there. All right, Ethan and Virginia, thank you so much for the question. I appreciate that. I hope that was helpful to all of you, and maybe it inspires some of you to start taking notes. I think that would be a huge step for you to have the courage to say, okay, I'm just going to bring it in and give it a whirl, and I think you'll realize the more you do it, the easier it gets. All right, thanks for hanging out with me today. I love y'all. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.